The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
On this episode of Revelator, I welcome music guest Clutch. I also cover the NFL playoffs, the Red Hot Chili Peppers playing the Super Bowl, the top movies at the box office, and much, much more here on Revelator.
And enjoy the show.
Hey everybody, welcome to Revelator. I'm your host Ryan. Thanks for hanging out with me as always. And oh man, I am super stoked for tonight's show. One of my all-time favorite bands. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm a huge fan of our guest tonight, and that is Clutch, Dan Mains, one of the original founding members of the band Clutch. Bassist for the band will be joining us to talk about touring, talk about the new album Earth Rocker, and whatever else we end up coming up with. So definitely stay tuned right here. Plus, we're also going to hear several tracks off the album Earth Rocker as well. So keep it locked right where you are right now. You know, getting that time of year after New Year's and stuff, you know, kind of getting back into the groove again. Everybody's, you know, back from the holidays and all that, you know. And for me, my son is getting ready to turn two. And I'm looking forward to the, you know, the birthday party aspect and, you know, cake and a couple gifts and stuff. And it's a little weird, you know, I guess, you know, having a birthday that close to Christmas. So it's a little weird for him, I guess, you know, but not for him. I guess he's like, hey, cool, more presents, you know, a couple weeks later. Awesome. But, you know, you don't always want the birthday parties to go right, you know? You know, whether it be, you bring entertainment in or... you get a bouncy house. You don't want a bunch of kids, you know, with bloody noses and all that stuff. You don't want one kid starting a fight with another and all those things that possibly can happen at a birthday party with a bunch of kids. Now, this one, you know, a lot of people even do clowns. I don't know how many people still do clowns because clowns are kind of creepy, right? You know, remember the old Bozo show? I think used to be on WGHN in Chicago. Mike, do you remember the old Bozo show there?
I still have nightmares to this day.
Right. That's a creepy dude, you know. I shouldn't say he was a creepy dude. Clown. He was a clown, and he was creepy. But this right here, there's actually a video for this, but I thought the audio was too priceless. A Spanish clown musician actually sets a dove on fire at a kid's birthday party. As the dove burns, you can actually hear the children screaming and crying. And we have that audio for you here because it's just too good not to play. Check this out. The show must go on. There's no burning bird here, kids. Look at this colorful scarf. Watch me squirt water out of this flower. Check out my big floppy shoes. What is that smell? It's a burnt dove. Be comfortable in your own skin. Right? Isn't that the Dove commercial? Perhaps hypnotizing the children with the smell of burnt feathers and flesh. I don't know. It's unclear, but it looks like in the video, the dove does not make it, just a big crusty pile of bird, you know? And they scoop it up in the video, and the kid's screaming and squelching in the background, you know, happy birthday, little Timmy. That'll be one to be talking about therapy in a couple of years, I would assume, right? Oh, unbelievable. Good stuff right there. It don't get much better than that, you know? Now, here's another really bizarre thing. This actually took place in Australia, Darwin, Australia. A very large cockroach had actually climbed into this guy's ear canal. He fell asleep and he woke up with this immense pain in his head, in his ear, and he wasn't sure exactly what it was. He was hoping it wasn't a poisonous spider that had crawled in his ear, because obviously a lot of poisonous spiders in Australia, apparently, in this particular area in which he resides. So he ends up, you know, going to the ER. He ended up trying to remove the cockroach by, you know, flushing his ear with water, and even tried to put a vacuum cleaner in his ear. I don't know if I would ever try that or not, but that's pretty dedicated right there to try to get something out of your ear. You know, putting the old Dyson up there and, you know, sucking it out. You know, But anyway, so he goes to the ER, and this ER doctor ends up saying that it took 10 minutes. They had to wait for the bug to actually officially die in his ear before they could extract it from his ear. And the doctor in the ER said it was one of the largest things he's ever removed from anybody's ear, ever. A big, huge, nasty cockroach. Gross. Remember, you know, several months ago, we talked about that that earwax thing. You know, you see on the infomercial on, we're like, don't use a cotton tip, use the earwax vax. I wonder if the earwax vax would help get the. That's what that guy needs. That's what the guy in Australia needs. He's one of the earwax things. You know, so if anybody in that area is listening and knows this gentleman, there you go. That's a nice little gift for him for Christmas next year or something. Let's take a look at music news. A lot of big things going on right now, and you think there wouldn't be with the way touring and things are set up, but a lot of really interesting things going on right now, and I'm really excited to announce this one. I'm really excited for a former guest of ours as well. The band Silver, we had on back in April of last year, and working on getting them back on again, are actually going to be hitting the road on tour with the Hottest Women of Rock and Roll Tour, which is going to start February 20th in North Carolina. It's also going to feature Lacuna Coil as the headliner, Sick Puppies, and Eyes Set to Kill. Lacuna Coil is obviously doing this. They're originally from Italy. Been around a long time. They have a new album called Broken Crown Halo. It's going to be their 7th full-length album set to release on April 1st in North America. So obviously I imagine they'll be playing some new cuts from that. You go to those February, March shows, you probably hear some of the new cuts off that new album before the album's even released. And again, a really great lineup there with Sick Puppies, Silver, and I Set to Kill. That's going to be a good tour. And also, I thought this was a very interesting mix of people to do an album. And that is Frank Bello from Anthrax and David Elfston from Megadeth, both bass players, joined together for a band called Altitudes and Attitude. Now, Altitude and Attitude, the band, will also harness the power of the drummer from Perfect Circle and Ozzy Osbourne guitar player shredder Gus G. The album is set to be actually released right now. I believe it's actually out right now. So if you're interested, if you're a huge Anthrax and Megadeth fan, check out Altitudes and Attitude featuring members of Perfect Circle and also Ozzy Osbourne. Pretty interesting mix of individuals there. And also, fans of 30 Seconds to Mars, you may already know this, but it looks like Jared Leto was named, he actually won a Golden Globe for his supporting role as an AIDS patient, Dallas Buyers Club. He won that at the Golden Globes this past Sunday night, so congratulations to him. And look for him to do more acting, I would guess, at this point. Pretty good frontman, pretty good singer. They write good tunes, but he's been known to land some pretty interesting roles. So congratulations to him. That's definitely a big honor. And also, this was just announced a couple days ago, and that is the Red Hot Chili Peppers are planning on attending New York for the Super Bowl concert at halftime. Now, Bruno Mars is actually scheduled to perform. I have nothing against Bruno Mars. I don't know a whole lot of his material, to be honest with you. I know he's a quality performer. But that, the Red Hot Chili Peppers there, that's an act that I think a lot of people, you know, these guys have been around for quite some time, transcends generations. The music is, I think a lot of people can relate to it. I think having Red Hot Chili Peppers at the halftime show with Bruno Mars is a brilliant idea. If that is indeed the case, that's going to be an interesting, probably one of the, very possibly could be one of the best halftime shows they've had in years. Trust me, we've talked about that, the dreadful halftime shows they've had in the last several years at the Super Bowl. Beyonce, Black Eyed Peas, I mean, they've been pretty bad. So having a quality band like the Red Hot Chili Peppers that you know can perform in arenas, they've been doing it for a while, and they sound good live. You got to feel pretty comfortable if you're the Shield, aka the NFL, about having the Red Hot Chili Peppers as your halftime show. As long as they don't come out just wearing socks, I guess you're good there, you know? So that should be interesting. And it looks like the official announcement for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, that's going to take place during the NFC Championship game on Saturday. And we're going to talk a little bit more NFL as the show goes on. Let's take a look at the movies at the box office this week, starting with number 10 and working our way up to number 1. That is Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues at $5.8 million. Paranormal Activity, The Marked One, $6.2 million. Saving Mr. Banks at $6.5 million. August, $7.6 million. The Hobbit, $8 million. American Hustle, $8.3 million. A movie that I really like to see. The Wolf of Wall Street. A lot of people talking about this movie and how outstanding it is. A very long movie, almost 3 hours in length, at $8.8 million. And its 3 weeks at the box office has made $78 million. The Legend of Hercules. Man, it made $8 million in its opening weekend. I don't see it going much higher than that. I think that movie's just going to drop like a rock. It doesn't look like a very good film. One of those you probably rent on the TV when it comes out on DVD. You know, and the movie Frozen at number two at $14.7 million, and the number one movie at the box office this weekend was Lone Survivor at $37.8 million. Very impressive opening week for that film. And man, I'm super stoked about this. I really, really am. Dan Maines from Clutch will be joining us in a moment, but before that, this is a double shot of Clutch, starting with DC Sound Attack off the album Earth Rocker. It is Clutch here on Revelator.
That is Clutch, Book, Saddle, and Go here on Revelator, and I'm joined now by the bassist for the band Clutch, Dan Mainz. Dan, dude, first off, Clutch, a personal favorite of mine for a long, long time, and it's an honor, and I appreciate you taking the time out for us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Very cool, man. Now, I know, man, the album Earth Rocker, man, let's start there. A lot of people, okay, including myself, have talked about this being the best hard rock metal album of 2013. I think it's one of the best albums, period, of 2013. Tempo-wise, a pretty aggressive album for you guys. Was that the kind of the idea going into the recording when you guys started this? Was like, let's go in and just make a balls-out, kick-ass-out rock album.
It really was, to, you know, kind of boil it down. That's exactly what we were thinking about. We had just gotten off the road with a couple of great tours with Motorhead and Thin Lizzy. And they both, you know, sort of planted that seed in our minds when it was time for us to, you know, think about writing songs for a new record. So, yeah, the concept of, you know, trying to keep the energy high while we were writing the songs was definitely always in the back of our minds. And it was something that the producer machine really helped us out with, too, as far as, you know, actually getting into the studio and really kind of pushing the tempos a little bit.
Well, I think you definitely succeeded in that, man. The album start to finish, about 44, 45 minutes, no fillers, straight up, just, you know, all the way, full throttle, man, which I think is definitely the way to go. Now, obviously, you know, with a new album, which, you know, obviously, I don't know if people know this, but you guys released this album. I think it's the second album now you guys released on your own, under your own label, which, congratulations for that. You're welcome, man. A lot of it comes with touring, obviously, and you guys are no strangers to that by any means over the years. This past year or so, really aggressive for you guys. And you guys have been on the road for, what, almost a year straight for the most part? What is, you know, obviously a lot of ups and downs on the road. What do you enjoy about being on the road, and what are the downsides of being on the road for that long?
Well, you kind of have to, you know, I think you have to know your limits, first off. As far as, you know, how many shows you are physically capable of doing, you know, within a single run. We've been doing this for over 20 years, and we've kind of had plenty of time to figure out, you know, our comfort zones. And, you know, we try to organize the tours in a way that gets the job done, but doesn't really, you know, beat us to death at the same time. And I enjoy touring very much, and you know, it's a great opportunity to see a lot of places that you wouldn't normally, you know, go to in everyday life. You know, it's certainly the most traveling I've ever done. I can't think of a job where you get to see, you know, the kind of places that we get to go to, and you know, perform your job, and you know, you're basically just bundling a lot of high points into each night, and then you get to move on to another city. It's a great time.
Well, I guess that kind of parlays into my next question, is that, you know, obviously, you know, when you're traveling from city to city, do you have, kind of a two-parter here, I mean, do you have any particular cities in the U.S. that you particularly look forward to when the tour's laid out, you're like, oh man, we're going to, well, I'm in Nashville. So I got to see you guys in Nashville, is, you know, obviously a really great town. And, you know, look, and also, do you get a chance to kind of take in some of the sights and sounds of the cities as well? Do you get a chance to kind of step back and maybe, you know, go to a, you know, museum, or, you know, enjoy any of the sights and sounds, or, you know, whatever it is you like doing there?
Yeah. I would say that's probably one of the downsides to it, is your time constraints, and you really don't have a lot of free time to, you know, do what you're talking about. It's pretty much, you know, show up at the venue, set up your gear, sound check, and then you can't wander off too far because you got to get back for the show. You know, I'll tell you one thing. looking at the tour that we're on right now, I mean, we're in Buffalo right now, and we're going to be in Port Chester tomorrow, Burlington, Vermont, Northampton, Mass. And these are all great places. I'm excited to be going, but not necessarily this time of year.
Right.
So that's something that you really have to plan out as well. And unfortunately, this tour was supposed to occur in September, I believe, or maybe October of last year, but we had to postpone it. And otherwise, I would say, you know, you really want to plan your destinations according to the seasons as well.
Well, especially
if not the time you want to be in Buffalo.
Right. I was going to say, January in Buffalo is pretty cool, especially, you know, with the crazy Arctic freeze and everything. Were you guys hampered by that travel wise at all? Or?
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. Actually, yesterday we were in South Bend, Indiana. You know, it was below freezing all day. It definitely makes travel, difficult. I mean, I was talking to our driver this morning, and he was telling me about how he had to reroute three different times just because highways being closed or, you know, road conditions. So, it's unusual weather for sure, but yeah.
Yeah, but I imagine that's got to definitely take your toll on you. Now, getting back to, you know, to the live shows and, you know, playing out. I mean, you guys have so much material. Where do you guys find the balance? I know you guys switch the set lists up all the time. Where do you guys find the balance between playing, you know, 3, 4, 5 songs off Earth Rocker and also still finding that mix from all the other albums as well? I mean, do you guys take turns doing set lists together, or is it kind of a collaborative effort with the band?
Well, we do take turns with the sets, and that helps, you know, create a nice mix. Earth Rocker is actually one of the first albums in a long time where we were actually playing all of the songs off the record live. You know, that's exciting for us because we always enjoy playing the newer stuff. You're just a little bit more excited about playing newer material. But as far as the back catalog goes, I mean, you really have to kind of make a short list of songs and then pick from those, because otherwise, I mean, if somebody, you know, told me to go up on stage and try to play Muchas Veces, you know, I'd have to refer to a website's tab to remember that song. So, there is a balance that you have to find, and, you know, hopefully, the people who come out are appreciative of, the fact we do try to change the sets up, quite a bit from night to night.
Now, do you think Neil would remember the lyrics to that track, which I think is off Elephant Riders, if I'm not mistaken?
You know, thinking about notes, that's fine. I have 12 different notes that I have to try to remember. Words, I would imagine, would be a much more difficult process. And I'm just thankful that's not my, right. Not my gig.
Do you ever, just to mess with Neil, just pick a couple, kind of deep cuts on your pick on the playlist, just to see what he says?
We do that, and the rule is, you know, just let's rehearse it once during sound check. You know,
okay.
You certainly don't want to surprise anybody just walking up on stage. But we're pretty good about being able to recall a song, as long as it's disguised ahead of time.
Right.
We can usually pull it off fairly professionally.
Very cool. Right. I've seen you guys play, probably about 8 or 9 times, The Phantom coming out. And, every time I've had a chance to see you guys play, it's always phenomenal. And again, thank you for being together and doing what you guys are doing. And I know it's not easy. again, you know, you guys have, you know, a lot of bands that have been around a long time have lineup changes and members leave, come and go, and that type of thing. What do you think it is for you guys, you know, to be together this long? What does that mean to you guys? I mean, I think that's one. I think it's amazing, and not a lot of bands have that continuity. And I think that also obviously is going to help with the writing. And I think the last several albums obviously show the growth of the band. What is the component there for you guys, you know, being together and getting along for such a long period of time, and where maybe some bands do not?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really have an answer for that question. Maybe the fact that we knew each other and were friends before the band actually formed, you know, probably has a lot to do with it. We all basically went to high school together and didn't actually form Clutch until 2 years after high school. So, you know, the bond beyond the band was already there. But yeah, I mean, it certainly helps playing, especially live. If it's, I mean, there are so many things that happen on stage on a nightly basis that I just completely take for granted, just because the musical chemistry had so long to develop between us. And, it really gives us an opportunity to kind of stretch out a little more than, you would with a band member that you would have to, kind of figure out, his style over time. And, we pretty much developed our own styles together, simultaneously. It's a complicated question. I don't really have an answer other than just dumb luck.
Right on. Well, I know it's a tough question, man. I appreciate you trying to take it on. Now, I'm going to spin it around on you, man. And this is a question I think we ask a lot of bands that have been on, whether they're independent or not. And, what is your take on you guys have been around for a long time, have seen a lot of changes in the music industry and the radio industry. What is your take on the music industry, radio industry as a whole, and also the role that social media has played as well? How do you perceive that, and where do you see the future of the industry going?
Well, I think that, the opportunities that we had as a young band back in the early 90s certainly don't exist for young bands today. That's a shame, and it's just, just a fact of the way the music business has turned. Luckily, we're in a position where we can set up our own organization. I think, you see that definitely more and more nowadays, and that's obviously a good thing. There's two sides to the coin, I think that a lot of bands are getting exposure that you wouldn't necessarily get nowadays just because of the technology, because music is so accessible, and, people have a lot of outlets to see new music. But at the same time, that just is, it can be very overwhelming too, trying to decide.
Yeah, I think the industry,
you almost don't have enough time on your hands to really listen to all the new music out there.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said for oversaturation too.
I'm sorry, what's that?
No, I think there's a lot to be said for kind of an oversaturation too, where, there's so exactly much accessibility, where it's like, I don't know what direction to go because there's, I like this style and that style, and there's, 30 bands in each of those and then some before you can find out maybe what, what's going to hit you, or, how do you access, certain bands, and, YouTube and all these things have played a part in it. So, it's definitely a, interesting dichotomy, the way that social media obviously playing a huge role in that too.
Absolutely. You know, but it's a shame though that the the kind of record deals that were being offered to bands playing the kind of music that we play now, and it's just as popular today as it was, I think, you know, 15 years ago, that those record deals just aren't on the table anymore for these bands. So, you know, that's probably something that's not going to change.
Yeah, and I think that also kind of spins into radio play too. I mean, we've talked with a lot of guys that have been around a long time, like Nonpoint and Taproot, and you know, guys that have, you know, been around the industry for a long time. And you just unfortunately, you guys don't get the fair shake of getting some radio play. I mean, obviously, there's some certain cities and that are independent rock stations that are pushing that music, but for the majority, it's hard for you guys to get on the radio, and that's a real shame, man. I think.
Well, I thank you for being one of the few.
But hey, man, I worked in the radio industry for a number of years, and I've been on the ins and outs of it, you know, for quite some time. Uh-huh. And when we started this project, that was kind of the driving force behind it. It wasn't about the fame or notoriety. It was just a matter of giving people who are interested in what we're doing and giving a voice. And we've been fortunate to have, guys like you and some of the bands I mentioned to come on and be a part of it. And we appreciate it. And, I tell you what, I want to spin up a little bit on you again. Obviously this tour's coming up. You got the Euro tour. You guys are going to head to Australia. So, I mean, you're heading into spring. After this tour is over, man, obviously, I imagine you guys will probably take a break. What are you going to do when, get home, just kind of decompress, do some family time? Is that pretty much any hobbies or things you want to get into while you're taking a break from touring, if that is the plan?
We usually just take about a break, week's worth of a break away from each other, and just kind of decompress, spend some time with our families. But, yeah, we do, honestly, we just try to get together as often as we can and just jam out different ideas. We'll usually get together between 3 to 4 times a week. And our drummer, John Paul, has a studio set up so where he can just push record and we'll record our jams. And, it's usually just an idea or two that somebody's brought. And we just try to build a catalog of ideas and just let those marinate for a while and listen back to them a month or two later and see if there's any two that we can put together and maybe make a song out of. And that's really our process.
Very cool, man. It sounds like you guys, obviously enjoying what you're doing, which is the biggest part of it. And you guys always seem to, album after album, again, this is kind of the fan of me talking, where album after album, you guys always seem to take it to the next level and evolve and adapt and do something that, you think that maybe, you have a preconceived notion of what maybe a band is going to sound like, and you guys always continue to evolve and adapt and add depth to your sound I appreciate it as a fan. I know other fans as well do. And, everyone's like, hey, what's your favorite band? I go, Clutch. And some people go, who? And I give it, I listen to it, and they hear it and they go, oh my gosh, what have I been missing? I'm like, yeah, exactly. Always trying to spread the word of you guys, man. My wife, actually, had never heard of you guys when we met. And, we got, that the whole, when you first get to know someone, she's like, say, what's your favorite band? I'm like, Clutch. So I took her to a show you guys did in Columbus, Ohio several years ago. It was like a December 30th show right before New Year's, and she mm-hmm. was been a fan ever since, and I was right in the interview and I asked her, I was like, so I'm interviewing Dan from Clutch today. I was like, what would you ask him? She goes, well, she's like, I would ask him what I could cook for him for dinner. And she wanted to know what kind of beer you were drinking and what TV show are you were you watching when you get the time to do so?
Okay. I'm as far as food goes, I'm a pretty simple person. Spaghetti and meatballs is plenty for me. What were the other questions?
Beer of choice.
Beer of choice. Right now, we're enjoying Bale's Pale Ale from Oscar Blues Brewery. They're out of Colorado and North Carolina.
Nice. Okay.
So, what, you're in Tennessee?
Yes.
Yeah, so you should be able to find that. It's really
good. I'll definitely have to look that up.
Yeah. Let's see. TV shows. What did I just finish watching? You know, it's funny. At home, we don't have cable. I use a Roku box. And so when a show that I like is on, I just wait till the season's over, and then I watch it from beginning to end in like 3 nights. I'm trying to remember the name of the show. House of Cards, I think it was.
Ah, okay. All right.
The show with Kevin Spacey. Really good.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll have to check that out. I think my producer Mike actually watches that as well, so I'll have to check that out, man. Well, Dan, I know you got a busy evening ahead, and can you give us a sample on maybe a couple songs that some of the people in Buffalo are going to hear tonight?
We'll definitely be playing, I would say, 5 or 6 cuts off of Earth Rocker. Let's see, you know, who knows? I honestly, tonight is my set list, and I have not made it yet, so.
Well, cool, man. Well, hey, it's been a pleasure talking with you. It's been a pleasure talking with you, man, and he's really cool dude, and I appreciate you taking the time out. I know you guys are busy on the road and everything. One more question, if you don't mind, man. Is there a band out there that you guys have not toured with that you would like to do some shows with in the future?
Let's see. The Melvins always come to mind when somebody asks me that question.
Nice. Yeah, no, that would be I actually got to see when I lived outside of Cleveland. I got to see the Melvins in the mid '90s. There was the station up there, WMMS, the Buzzard. They used to do Buzzard Buck shows at the old Odeon in the flats, and the Melvins played with Helmet for a buck. It was a Buzzard Buck night. It was Helmet and the Melvins for a buck. You can't beat that.
What year was this?
I would say it would have been 96, 97, somewhere in that range.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, you can't beat that, man. That was a great show for a buck, man. Wait, Dan, we close out tonight with the Wolfman Kindly Request. I would imagine a favorite to play live. Also, another cutoff Earth Rocker. Anything you would like to add to about this song, the Wolfman Kindly Request?
It's one of our favorites to play live. It's a very demanding song, and it's just a lot of fun. It's a good set closer, and I'll actually probably end the set tonight with that song.
Awesome. Well, hey, Dan, best of luck to you guys. And hey, man, maybe you know, when you guys get back in the States after your tour, you come back on. We'll wrap some more, man, and be safe out there on the road, man, and tear it up tonight.
Sounds good. Thanks again.
machine. I set small fire, drive big game. Drive big game. I think you know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Clutch here on Revelator, the Wolfman kindly request. Man, really great CD, Earth Rocker, and a really cool guy, Dan Mains from, again, one of my favorites of all time, Clutch, one of the best bands you'll ever see live. Guys have been at it a long time. A lot of respect for those guys, and I really appreciate them coming on the show. More information about Clutch and this particular episode of Revelator number 42, head on over to omnes.tv. Again, that's omnes.tv. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/omnes.tv. You also find me, Ryan, on Twitter, Ryan_unsigned. I'm on there quite a bit, retweeting, tweeting. Tweet, tweet, tweet. Let's take a look at the NFL playoffs heading in. These are the final games before the Super Bowl. And, you know what, I'm excited about these matchups because I think the four teams that are playing in the AFC and the NFC are the best teams there. Let's look at the NFC. The Seattle Seahawks have been outstanding all year. The last couple games have been a little shaky. I think the Saints actually should have beaten them because if the Saints didn't play so sloppy, you know, I don't think Seattle played very good in that game, even at home. They were poised to be beaten, and they got away with playing pretty poorly. And winning. Now, playing a division rival in the San Francisco 49ers, these two teams do not like one another. They play in the same division. And if you look at the coaches, Pete Carroll and Harbaugh, These guys don't like one another from the Stanford-USC days when they were both in college coaching. These guys do not like one another. The teams don't like one another. I expect this Saturday to be an outstanding football game. Almost wish this was the Super Bowl, honestly. I want to see Phil Dawson kick lots of field goals and win the game because, it's Phil Dawson. But looking at the teams, I don't look at Seattle playing two games in a row at home, having two bad games in a row. And San Francisco has had trouble going up there the last two seasons. They've been outscored, like 70-something to 20. So they haven't fared very well on that field in Seattle. Hell, not many teams have at all. So I'm going to take Seattle to go to the Super Bowl and to take on the AFC Championship. And this is a classic matchup. It's Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning in Denver and Mile High. I tell you what, I'm going to say this. Bill Belichick, Coach of the Year. And here's why. The man has, again, got a team that nobody thought was really that good. They didn't have a lot of talent. Yeah, he still got Tom Brady all year, granted. But the injuries they've had on defense, the injuries they've had at tight end, wide receiver, the revolving door at running back, the list goes on and on here. The one constant has obviously been Tom Brady, but the other constant has been Bill Belichick's coaching to put guys in positions to win football games. No one's better at it than that. And this is probably the best coaching he's done in a long, long time with not as much talent as he's typically had. But heading to Denver, I think Peyton Manning is on a mission. And I think that if Peyton Manning beats Brady this time, goes to the Super Bowl and wins, I wouldn't shock me if Peyton Manning decided to retire. It wouldn't. But you never know. There's the other side of it where Peyton Manning has that history of choking a little bit in the playoffs. I don't know how many times you're going to see Peyton Manning and Tom Brady clash in an AFC title game. This is the second time in the Bill Belichick era that they've had an AFC title game that wasn't in Foxborough. The other time was against Peyton Manning in 2006. I'm taking Peyton Manning, Broncos at home. So you have Broncos, Seattle, what it really should have been, the two best teams all season in the Super Bowl 48. And I'll give my pick next week on the show. And we'll leave it at that. Again, big thanks to Dan Maines from Clutch and John Freeman for helping us out and obtaining that interview. Again, thanks a lot, guys. We appreciate it. Coming up on the next couple weeks, we've got Heaven the X, Orianthe, Redline Chemistry, the lovely and very, very talented and beautiful Jennifer Vaughn will also be coming back on the show as well. Keep it locked right here on Revelator. Hey, it seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so, everybody.
This was episode 42, The Wolfman Kindly Requests Clutch. For show notes or links to topics discussed on this episode of Revelator, or to experience previous episodes, head on over to omnes.tv, that's omnes.tv, and click on Revelator. Thanks for listening.